to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome live from Houston, Texas, the most beautiful city in the world. And as you can see, the sun has gone down, but isn't those clouds just absolutely gorgeous over the Texas Medical Center? And it's just good to have each and every one of you here tonight. And mamas, happy Mother's Day. 2021 is just great to have you with us. Tonight, I want you to get a hold of somebody and let them know that they need to listen tonight. If they've had anybody that's looking for hope, has gone through something tragic in their life or traumatic in their life, and they're looking for keys to how to be able to get through it, I think you're going to be able to get some good wisdom this evening from the story of our guest tonight. We are live, and I'm looking at it right over here, right down here on my iPad. We are live on the Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page, iHeartRadio, and all the way around the world. It's just circling the world while we're saying tonight. And if you want to be involved, hop on Facebook page, Shattered by the Darkness, and comment. Ask questions, and my son Curtis will be on a little bit later on. Will tell us if there's any comments, or you can actually just call us. And the wonderful people at the BBS radio station in California will answer the phone with their wonderful radio voices and tap you right into us tonight. 888-627-6008. Next week, yes, it's right here. Next week, we have the author of these two books that I have been reading, and I'm going to finish reading The Survivor's Fast Track to Mental Wholeness and then The Therapy Workbook. And that next week's guest is going to be Pamela Elaine Lockridge, and she's a sex worker. And you got these?
I know her.
You know her? Fantastic. These are really, really a great book. So that will be our guest. Will be our guest next week, and then on May 23rd, Paulina Melania will be here, and I'm excited to have Paulina Melania on May 23rd. You know, today's Mother's Day, and I just want to pause just for a second and say Happy Mother's Day in honor and tribute to moms. And I also just want to kind of throw out a tidbit or two. Not to take, but just a second or two. Moms, we appreciate you. And I want to let you know that perfection will not ever happen in you or in your children. So there just needs to be an unconditional love on both sides that we're going to make mistakes. There's no dress rehearsal for motherhood. There's no dress rehearsal for being a son or a daughter. And unconditional love is something that I receive from my mom. Even though you know my story and the horrificness of it, but there's a few things that my mom did teach me. She taught me how to iron. I can iron like the best doggone tailor and dry cleaner in the world, and I literally love to do laundry because of my mom. And my mom also taught me how to work, how to go out and sling sweat. And she taught me that discipline. That if you want son to be something in life, you got to go out and fight for it and earn it and work for it and work hard at it. And I appreciate that and my mom. And I started working when I believe I was 12 years old. I was out washing dishes in a restaurant and worked myself up to a cook at 12 years old. And my mom taught me how to do that. My mom also taught me how to understand that blood was thicker than water in our family line, that you never went against family, that you always fought for your family and you stuck together as your family. That may have been the Italian in us, but she taught me that family was very important and you didn't go against your family. And then the last thing I think I really learned from her, that no matter how good or how bad I was not the perfect child. I sure tried to be. That was my coping mechanism of going through my trauma, but I wasn't. I didn't obtain that. But she loved me unconditionally. No matter what I was dealing with in the battles of the world, I could always look back and know that she was going to be in my corner fighting for me and would always be there when I needed help, patching up an emotional wound or a physical wound. My mom would be right there. So for all the moms, just give yourself a break. I hope you enjoyed your day today, but don't be so rough on yourself. And when you make a mistake, just look at your kids and say, hey, I messed that one up, but I love you. And if your mom is still around, make sure you call her before the night's out and tell them that you love them or hug their neck or give them a kiss and tell them how special they really are. Now, tonight, I want to be a forewarning that there may be triggers in the story this evening, that if you've gone through traumatic events, have mental issues, have things that may deal with trigger your anxiety and stress, be prepared for that this evening because this is a story. But I don't apologize for that because the title of our program, and we've done this for almost going on 2 years, is Breaking the Silence. So to me, this is an important platform, not only to be able to understand and learn things from some of the best professionals in the medical world and the social world and the neurobiological and neural, all this stuff that goes on in your brain and the science behind ACEs and adverse childhood experiences and all of that. But it also gives the opportunity for people like our guest tonight that has gone through from day one of her life, events that has shaped and formed her life to what it is today that aren't so pleasant at times. And she's going to tell you some things, but I just want to kind of let you know that there may be some triggers in here that could stir up some emotions in yourself. And if that happens, feel free to just walk away from the computer screen, grab a soda, sit back, take a deep breath or two, and then come back and join us if you can. But I just want to kind of warn you about that up front. Tonight, our guest all the way from the wonderful state of Tennessee, where my son and two grandkids and my daughter-in-law live in Nashville. She is from a town called Pulaski, Tennessee, Darlene Clark. And she is the author of a book called Born in a Living Hell. Can't get a hold of that book right now, but we're going to talk about that a little bit. It is kind of out of print, and she's readapting that and adding it to the second version of the book and an additional, really a second book, but she's going to add some of the first part in there to let everybody catch up to her, and that is called Shattered Innocence, and that'll be coming out very soon. So I want to welcome to the program live in Houston, Texas, all the way from Pulaski, Tennessee. And when you hear her voice, you're going to say, oh, yeah, she's from Tennessee. Welcome to the program tonight, Darlene Clark. Are you there, Darlene? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you very much. I have a friend that's from Australia, and he lives in Canada, right? And we've been trying to practice saying how he says g'day. And he tells me that I am the worst one at saying g'day. I said, well, I know I'm going to fail because I've got the worst accent attached to mine.
Well, you sound good to me. I'm originally from Southern Illinois, but everybody says I have an accent. Now I'm down in Texas, so nobody talks right around me. But it's just good to hear you, and I can understand you completely. Good to see you tonight, Darlene. Thank you for being on the program. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me and giving me this opportunity, because it is very important getting the word out. And I want to say something. Happy Mother's Day to every one of y'all. And there's even fathers out there that's being a mother to the children because they don't have the mother figure in their lives, or they rarely see the mothers. So I wanted to say thank you for all you do for your children as well. You know, you be a mother, you be a father, you be all that. You know, even women, there's women that's being fathers. And thank you for taking care of your kids, that even though it's not Father's Day yet, but I still want to thank you for that.
And so, they play both roles sometimes as fathers. And that's a good point. Thank you, Darlene, for bringing that up. And I hope you had a good Mother's Day and happy Mama's Day to you.
I did. Thank you so much.
Good, good.
And I hope your wife did as well.
Hey, Darlene, how did we come across each other? Do you remember?
LinkedIn.
Okay. From Miss Texas?
Yes, I believe so. And LinkedIn, you contacted me and you had seen. And you did a story on Little Miss Texas show after I did. And by the way, I did read your first book, because I know you got two others out.
But, yeah, two more's coming out soon. Yeah.
Yes, and I look forward to that, too. I just wanted to reiterate that. And I want to tell the people, you might discount and say, wow, her abuse is worse than yours, or whatever. Do not say that. Abuse is bad. No matter what degree, no matter if it's just verbal, no matter if it's mental, psychological, no matter if it's monetary, abuse is abuse, no matter what is done and to what extent. You're not sugarcoat it or whatever, but that's part of my being an inspiration, that part near the back.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Darlene, because I believe a lot of people look at folks like us that kind of have stepped out of the darkness and said, hey, this happened to me. To hopefully inspire other people to deal with their own issues and skeletons in their closet. And sometimes they go, oh, wait, I don't have a story to tell. It only happened once to me. And I was 10 years old, or I was on a date at 18. And it just happened once for 5 minutes, or they just tried something. But I tell you, like you said, abuse is abuse. Traumatic events, that one event can affect our mental health as much as what you and I have gone through, which is probably hundreds and thousands of times and instances of abuse. So I appreciate you mentioning that. Darlene, when you get out of bed in the morning and you wake up and you go, okay, here's another day. What is it that you want to accomplish in that day to be able to do what? What motivates you now in life?
Well, I enjoy doing crafts, and if I know that my story helps someone else, it motivates me to get out there even more. You would not believe it. Like, I had been abused as a child horrifically, okay? And then I was abused, married, you know, with my marriage. He abused me as well. And people say, well, you try to find a spouse that's much like your father. I didn't do that. I really believe this man loved me. You know, I really did. I was looking for somebody that's going to protect me. I did not think that he was going to be an abuser too. But guess what?
Yeah. We're going to turn that corner into your story. And I'm going to let you share whatever you'd like to share. We have about 5 minutes before our first break, so we're going to kind of just jump into that. If you had to nutshell and abbreviate what impact the abuse had on you and what you endured before we go to our first break, how would you start telling us that story of when you first maybe realized I'm being abused.
Well, I already knew that I was being abused to some extent at home, to some part, you know, part of me did. But a lot of it was blocked in there. Some of the sexual abuse that really was driven deep in my subconscious, and I did not even realize the extent of the damage that was done to me. I even forgot. But whatever, what started the realization that I had a problem is after I gave birth to my three kids, and I did not even know I had a first kid in the first place, but I'll get to that in a little while, okay?
Okay.
So I went to the OBGYN, and I had to have a hysterectomy because my uterus was doubled in size. So anyway, when he done the surgery, after the surgery, he pulled up a chair in my hospital room, and I said, this ain't good when a doctor pulls up a chair to have a lengthy talk. And he said, you were abused when you were younger, didn't you? I said, yeah, but I'm dealing with it. It's okay, you know, it's okay, you know, I deal with it, you know. At least I thought I did. And he said that he had never seen a woman as messed up internally as he saw me messed up. He said he's seen a lot of women messed up internally.
So there was physical trauma to what the doctor could see in your uterus as the exams.
My uterus, outside my uterus, everywhere, all
everywhere.
Yes.
So he knew something was going on. So he was letting you know.
And
no need to hide this.
He was waiting on the kidney doctor because he said he actually didn't cut my ureter, which on the record it don't show it cut my ureter, you know, but he paid for it because he did that surgery. He actually didn't cut it, so he paid for it to do that surgery, that doctor. But anyway, while he was waiting on that doctor to get there, he said that it worked 2 hours and it was like nothing had been removed. And he said he could not believe it, you know, that it's like, it was just so much. And he finally had to quit because I kept bleeding. So he had to stop. And he said, you're going to need therapy. And I'm like, I'm fine. And he opened up Pandora's box, the can of worms that I didn't know existed. He opened up that pathway. So after I got home, the nightmares began and all that. And that's what started it.
Did the nightmares immediately start, Darlene? So when it was mentioned to you by a medical professional, face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball, Darlene, you have been abused. Did the light just come on and all the things that you had thought were hid away just came rushing out?
Not all the things, because there were so many voices, so many... I mean, it was horrendous. Like when I laid down, all of a sudden I had this anger that I just, I had to get back up out of bed, you know what I mean? Every time I tried to lay down, I couldn't stand it, you know? I was afraid to sleep. And
yeah.
Of course, whenever I fell asleep in the chair in the living room, which later on I'll tell you about that abuse, but it was just horrific, and then I had to get help. And unfortunately, the first person my husband sent me to, which I didn't want to be going to, I had agoraphobia. It worked so bad that I was afraid to even leave my house. I was afraid to walk out my own front door. I was so petrified that I was going to be attacked.
Wow.
You know, all those strong feelings and everything, you know.
And that was all after?
Yeah.
The doctor had the discussion with you. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, well, we're going to take our first break. On the other side of this, Darlene, I really want to kind of get inside of what was going on when you left that hospital room and got home, and the Pandora's box, is your words, has been cracked open, and now everything's rushing at you. What did you discover, How did you start dealing with that, and how did you put it all in place to be able to start processing that? And we're going to talk about that and go even deeper and deeper into this story right after this first commercial break. So hang with us. Be right back for the next segment of Breaking the Silence. Don't leave us. Finally coming very soon will be the release of my second book in the three-part trilogy, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. Now, this book will be an in-depth look at the many different facets and emotions that a person goes through when they're experiencing anxiety and trauma in their life, and they're simply searching for hope. And an exciting addition to this book will be a companion journal guide that will come along with it. Also, there's going to be something that I'm very excited about, the youth version of this book called When Dark Clouds Come, The Roadmap to Hope. And it's going to be an excellent tool and guide for teenagers dealing with stress in their lives. So stay tuned for the release date coming very, very soon for these exciting new resources. Now back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams on the VBS Radio Network. Welcome back to Breaking the Silence. Here we are in Houston. We have Darlene Clark. If you'd like to get involved in the conversation, you're more than welcome to get on Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. We are live there in comments, and you can have a question there or a comment. Love to have you join on there. And while you're on there, hit the like button, follow us. We would love to be able to connect with you, and that'll be an easy way for us to be able to chat back and forth later on if you just have a question or something you want maybe some help with. 888-627-6008. Now, Darlene, so you make it home from the hospital, and you just heard this news. Was this wasn't a shock to you because you knew it, right? You was aware.
My internet is being unstable.
No, you're fine. I could. You mean this wasn't a total secret or shock to you because you were aware from your childhood that you had gone through some situations, right?
Yeah, but some of it I was aware of, but a lot of it I wasn't.
Okay. Explain that. So tell me how you started putting the pieces together.
Well, whenever I knew about me being hit around, I knew about my daddy coming at me and beating me a lot of times, I knew about my mother abandoned us in the grocery stores. I knew about us starving and us being neglected. I knew about my stepmom dipping my nose in cow manure. I knew about all that kind of stuff, okay? I was 10 years old, and I knew of Daddy playing the hide-and-go-seek game where when his version of hide-and-go-seek, when he found us, he shot at us with a 12-gauge.
Oh,
I know that. I knew all that, okay? Yeah, I knew all that, but whenever, I guess, sexual stuff is really what really got to the brink of the hitting stuff, and I did not know that I had personalities also that had developed from this.
So personalities, you had multiple personalities? Is that what you're saying, Darlene, that you
right.
lived through? So how many did you have?
I had so many. There was so many bits, pieces, and parts. You know, some of them were tiny little inklings, you know what I mean, and parts. But the roundup was, you won't believe this, but it was about 82.
Now, do you feel that this was separate personalities or just you categorizing trauma in different areas, and then when you revisited that area, that's the person that dealt with that and how they dealt with that?
They called themselves different names.
Okay. So
and
how did
like,
you start?
Whenever whenever I started therapy for the agoraphobia, there was a guy at church. I called him Mr. Pinter in my book. He was an elder at church who found this therapist, and he said that he was going to do unconventional therapy on me.
Unconventional.
But he started wrestling me, and then he'll put his hand on my head on my breast, and he wouldn't get off of me. And I would tell my husband about it, and he said, well, you got to do unconventional therapy, so it's okay.
So you were being...
And with that, that's when some of the first...
So you were being abused by your therapist?
Yes, the very first therapist, yes.
Okay. So how did you start processing...
Finally...
Yeah, we're having a little trouble with the internet. So when you can hear me again, darling, go ahead and...
Okay. So when I started processing what?
Yeah. How did you start processing and putting all this together to realize this is you, one person, and this is what happened?
I felt the anger, you know, with him, it was starting to come out. It's, you know, I started, you know, feeling the anger coming out, and then all of a sudden, it was like a whirlwind of so many emotions, because my husband was allowing this further abuse to happen, and the guy at church was allowing this kind of thing to happen, so I was looking like as the bad person. And then when we finally got insurance, I found a psychiatrist, and this psychiatrist believed me. So that's when I started healing. That's when I started having hope, because this doctor believed me. Finally, somebody believed me. He wanted me to go back and press charges against this therapist, right? So I brought it up to my husband. He said, no, don't. So he wasn't going to stand behind me to do it. So I felt alone in doing it, and I was feeling like I would be beat even more by my husband, who was already abusing me too, if I took this on. What do I do, you know? But that's when I was in there in his office, and the devastation about the first child that I had. My stepmom holding me down while her son raped me.
And this is how you got impregnated with your first child?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, my stepmom held me down while her son... Well, this time my daddy had died, and we moved into another house after my daddy died. And I chose to stay with her than go back to my mother, that she wanted me to sell my body. So that's why I stayed over here instead of over there. I wasn't going to be a prostitute over here, but I chose to be here and be abused somewhat, you know. Kind of weird.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happened? Everything new.
So what happened to this first child?
When I was in that office and I was remembering this, I did not remember a pregnancy. I did not remember nothing. All I remember, and then I remembered, I said, oh no, this can't be happening. And then I remembered my stepmom had a fire burning outside for 3 days, and it was so hot, she had tires in and around it on top of it, you know. And I went outside walking around out there with her, and I said, why are you burning this? Okay. So she had a property to be able to have these burning things, okay? So anyway, I said, why is it burning? Aren't you afraid that one of these other trees might catch fire or something? She said, I want to be hot enough. I just want to be hot enough to get rid of evidence. And I said, what evidence? you know, I didn't know nothing yet. I didn't even know I was pregnant. I was under, you know, their kind of spell type of thing, okay? And anyway, a couple of days later, she had me lay down in the kitchen floor. And I don't remember getting naked. I don't remember. A lot of it zoned out. I don't remember. I remember her putting a coat hanger at me. And I guess next thing I know, she's handing me a baby. I'm coming back too, and she's handing me a baby. And the baby's dressed by now, so I don't know how long I was out of it. You know? And he was full term. He was so cute. He had jet black hair, and he had wrapped his little pinky, his little hand around my finger like that, you know, like babies first, how they do that. And so we bonded. And then she bent down and picked him up, and I saw her walking, you know, I was watching her backside, like, what is she going to do with him? You know, what's she going to do with him? So I seen that she went to the right of the sink, and I knew the angle she was at. There's two kitchen doors. And then I seen the knife come over her head like this and coming down. And the next thing I know is I'm standing at the side door. See, I got so many blocks, see? Next, I'm standing at the side door, and I'm watching while she's had a blue blanket, and she's going to the fire and throws it on the fire.
Okay, so she killed...
And then I know nothing more.
She killed your first child?
She either killed it then or maybe...
Okay, you had a hiccup in the internet. Go ahead and repeat that, Darlene. What did you say?
I really believe she killed him, because why else would it to be able to destroy evidence? Why every time when company came over, she made me go to the back room where nobody could see me? Why was I not allowed to go anywhere during these times, you know?
And how old were you when this happened, Darlene? How old were you?
I can't remember the exact year, whether it's 15, 16, or 17. I just can't remember.
Okay. So while you're a teenager, this happened. This was your first child. This is what you recall. And when this started coming up and dealing with it and putting all these pieces of this horrendous story together, did anybody in your family support you? And they say, oh, yeah, I remember, or oh, yes, or did they push you away?
Let's let this even more so to go on to more of this story, okay?
Okay.
So while I was at his office, he said, you got any proof? And I said, no. I said, but wait a minute. I said, I went to the doctor when I was pregnant with my first child, you know, through my marriage, okay? What I thought was my first child, but was actually my second child. And they asked me what I had a baby for, what I do with it. I thought they were out of their mind. And they even called the police to question me, asking me, where's the baby? They said you had a baby. What'd you do with it?
So this is when you were pregnant with your second.
That's the first.
Okay.
Right. And they said I had a baby before, the baby I never remembered, you know? And I said, ah. So I have went back since, trying to get the reports from the medical and all that. And they said they no longer have it, that stuff. So I cannot prove it. And my baby's just gone. She's gotten away from murder.
Is she still alive now?
Yes, she is.
Okay. What kind of relationship, or do you have a relationship with her? I mean, obviously, if she has heard this story, from you being on and talking and sharing it and publishing it? What kind of response, if you've had any, from her?
Well, like this, Darlene Clark, this is my name or my author name to keep my real name safe because I'm still in danger of her and my brother because they do not want to pay for their crime.
So that's why you author your books under another name.
Right. I have run into her a couple years back at a yard sale. And when I was in Alabama helping a friend of mine, and she asked me to go to a yard sale. And so that's where I ran into my stepmom. And so she saw where I walked back anyway, but she said, I work at a lawyer's office part of the day, and so if I need a lawyer for anything, I've got that lawyer. But even if I no longer work for him, my body quarter would be my lawyer. So I felt like they were threatening me then, that it was some kind of threat.
So you would think they were trying to intimidate you.
I went on with... Right, so I went on in the house, put the security alarm on because these folks had a security alarm, you know, so that's where I was at their house. Put the security alarm on, then I heard the honking of the horns so they pulled up in the driveway. And I'm like, no, I've not got a chance. And then that night, somebody came with my neighbor's. My friend got back from the movies and with her friend too, and they got back, and then also there was a famine on the garage door where they're trying to intimidate me. And you know dang well if the garage doors usually are not banged on, and the same day I happened to run into her, that can't be coincidental.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I'm found by them in Alabama, they're banging on the doors and banging on the windows and running, you know? They're always trying to intimidate me. I live here in Tennessee, and it has not happened once.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. They have no jurisdiction here in Tennessee. They'll get caught.
Okay, so this story, and I'm sure there's... a lot more, because from what I've read with your father and, you know, the physical abuse, because you were one of nine children, is that right?
Well, that's from half steps, holes and stuff, so there's about 13.
Okay, 13 steps or siblings, step-siblings or siblings.
Right.
So one of
there were nine of us living in a house at one time. But my stepmother did get pregnant with another child, and he just lived a couple hours, and he died.
Okay. Okay, we're going to take our last break. Now, on the other side of this, Darlene, I want, because people that's listening is probably going, we can't even understand this type of abuse. I mean, this is stuff that, you know, is so on the other side of what people endure. I want, on the other side of the commercial break, I really want to dig into how do you now deal with this? How do you find hope? How do you have encouragement for people that's hearing this? And it may go, yeah, I have similar stories I've never told about. I have things that I'm just tips, techniques, tools that has allowed you to keep your sanity after all of this has happened to you throughout your childhood and life. So we're going to talk about that right after our last commercial break. So hang with us, get online at Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. And if you have a comment or 888-627-6008, and we'll be right back after this last commercial break.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Welcome back. I'm still trying to catch my breath, and I feel like I have been hit in the gut with the baseball bat, Darlene, after hearing only a portion of your story. And thank you for sharing. And I'm getting texts and emails. Nobody, I think, has come online except somebody that just sending you love on the Facebook page, but no questions yet. But how do you deal? Because I know how I dealt with it. I didn't for 35 years plus. How do you deal with this and have somewhat normalcy in your mental health now, today, after going through just a little bit of what we've heard? And I'm sure there's story after story. Tell me, with people that have been hurt that's listening, what helped you?
I got several different tips of what I had to, that helped me. The first one is finding someone who believes you. Somebody who believes your story, somebody you trust. That's very important. Number two, really, you got to stop blaming yourself. Is it going to?
No, you're doing fine. I can hear you fine.
Yourself for what? Okay. You got to stop blaming yourself.
Did you do that? Did you blame yourself for a while?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. When I first found out about that, the baby accident, I could not believe it. I was suicidal. I wanted to die. I felt like, oh my gosh, I was blaming myself for not being able to get up and protect him.
So shame and guilt.
I was blaming myself for not knowing that I was pregnant to be able to do something about it,
Okay.
The blame were, oh man, I just wanted to die basically, I was, like, it's my fault. And they're like, I am bad. I am horrible. I believed all that core belief stuff, that a lot of people believe. That right. We're told they're stupid, bad, ugly, and retarded,
Do you okay, so find somebody that believes you.
Right.
Yep. Stop blaming yourself, and then what else?
Because you have to feel safe wherever you're at, because whenever the memories come, you want to be able to feel safe where you're at. Feel safe and get somebody safe, like even some support groups or anything like that. The main reason I survived is because of God, because God's grace and mercy. I really feel like God put me here for a reason, that I'm here to help others. And one main thought that I had thought that really helps me more than anything, as I ask myself, you only have this life to live, right? Do you want to be miserable all your life by staying around the toxicity and abuse? Or do you want to live happy and live past what these are saying, oh, you're bad, you're awful, you're ugly, you're fat? Do you want to think differently? Start thinking differently. Like, that's bad people. Why should I listen to them? They lied to me all my life. I deserve to be loved. I am lovable, you know?
So is this a daily choice you have to make?
Well, it's not as much as a daily choice anymore because I'm now on the other side of the tunnel. I don't see through the dark shades I used to see through, you know? When I started putting this and stopped blaming others and started thinking, well, I deserve to be happy. I don't need to listen to those butts, those people that's not of God. That's not that with the love of God. Anybody that abuses a child, oh man, that is not of God, you know. Because if you read in the Bible, it's better for somebody that had messed with a child to hang yourself in a noose and have cement around their neck and be thrown into the sea than to have ever messed with a kid. Because vengeance is his, saith the Lord. Yeah. So I turn it around like think a lot of times I think, well, I don't have to get revenge. God's got it for me. God's got my back.
Good.
God's going to do it in the long run, you know? He's got it covered.
How did that help you deal with, because there had to be, we haven't talked about it yet, but there had to be a rage, an anger, a hatred that came up inside of you. Was faith the pin that popped that bubble that was just exploding inside, or was it a process that you had to go through?
Well, with the rage, it was horrible, and I felt like if I gave into that rage, it was making the rage inside even worse. I didn't want to be a murderer one day, which I felt like that could possibly be with all this rage I had inside me. Do I really want to hurt anybody? No. I want to be happy. I want to live my life. I don't want to do as they say that I am. And I believe that I look okay. I don't have to think of myself as looking beautiful. That's okay. As long as I'm seeing myself as being okay, that's fine with me. Everybody says you got to look at yourself as beautiful. No, you do not. You don't. You look at yourself as okay. Accept yourself for who you are. Start rising above it. Start giving yourself hugs, the love that you never had. You never were cherished as a kid. Love yourself. Even sometimes, I even got an Xbox right here I play sometimes, you know? I mean, just for the kid inside me, you know, I enjoy playing things. I like hiding behind a door and scaring somebody, but as long as it's not my son. Because one time I did that to my son, and I got kicked somewhere where that landed me on the floor, you know? But, you know, I'm still a kid. I like to hide, you know, behind things and somebody behind me, you know?
Do you? This is a good point, darling, because I find sometimes I revert back because I don't feel like I had a childhood per se. So now I have a crazy sense of humor because I enjoy laughing, and people go, "Greg, you're 57 years old. Why?" But I enjoy those things, and there's nothing more fun than just a good belly laugh and scaring somebody and being just who you are.
Yeah, and it's not, yeah, and it doesn't have really to do anything with age because it's got something to do. I'm still alive. So guess what? I can laugh if I want to.
Amen. I can laugh if I want to.
Yeah, you know.
Absolutely. Anything else on your list?
Huh?
Anything else on your list, Arlene, of finding somebody to believe you, stop blaming yourself, get into a safe place, faith, laughter, anything else?
Put yourself around positive people. Positive, and get away from the toxic people in your life that keep dragging you down.
Do you feel, and this is going to get deep, and we only have a few minutes, but do you feel, even though you said you didn't, and I believe that, do you feel that abused people look for people that will put you down more or lean into that crowd more than what the positive people do? Or do you just think...
I believe everybody's different. So different people look for different things. You cannot just generalize and say all abused people look for people that's abused. You know, right. You can't generalize like that. It's like when they generalize and say, oh, you're abused because you were abused. I hate when I'm putting that, you know, that thing. Oh, all people that's been abused, you know.
You can't just broke the cycle. Yes.
Right. You cannot compartmentalize people like that.
Right. Good.
And that's my belief.
I agree with you. If there's somebody, we've got about a minute or two left. If there's somebody listening in, how important was writing this out for you in your healing process?
It was very important. It was kind of funny because I was in a support group for dissociative identity disorder back when I was married. And some of the people had said, I want some of your writings. You know, this explains how I feel, and I cannot explain it. So your writings can help someone else, like my writings did back then, and hopefully they do today.
When this new book comes out, Shattered Innocence, how long is it going to be, you think, before it actually is in print?
I've been trying to have someone help me get it to where the pages look formatted right. Since I've got some traumatic brain injuries, it's kind of been differentiated, a little problem. So I have to keep taking breaks.
Yeah, it takes a while. People think that you can just sit down at a computer and type out a book. It doesn't work that way. It is a job. The hardest job I think I've ever had to do was try to write some books, and that's tough. Anything else? We only have about a minute left. Anything else, Darlene, that you want to share with our listening audience if they just need a little encouragement to get through the next week?
There are a lot of people who you do not know that cares. You might think that nobody cares, but there are a lot of unknown faces who generally care. And if you see a child that's been hurt or anything, you can call 1-800-4-A-CHILD. They're 24/7, open 24/7.
Okay, and report that. I think that's our absolute duty, is it not, to report?
It is. And don't just shirk it off because you might be that person's last hope.
Yeah, good point. Well, Darlene, thank you for being with us tonight. It was great to get to know you all the way up there in Pulaski, Tennessee. Thank you for sharing your story. And my hope for you is that you sharing helps one other person, and that just keeps becoming a domino, and the dominoes keep getting bigger and more people getting impacted. If there's anything that I can help you with when the new book comes out, let me know and I'll be glad to share that with our listening audience, and we'll make sure Miss Texas gets it on her show and all these others that be able to get it out to the world to be able to help other people. Okay.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Darlene, for being with us tonight. As we always do each and every week, we always like to end the program. But before we do, because I think I have about a minute left, before we do, I want to let you know people's stories are different. Some degrees of the tragicness goes from small to like what we heard tonight. That does not belittle your own personal abuse. So I want you to lean in and let you know that no matter what's going on in your world, no matter what kind of hurt and pain that you have dealt with in your past, you're dealing with today, or that you're going to face tomorrow, I want to encourage you, those tips that Darlene gave you tonight are important to make sure you find somebody to talk to that believes your story. Feel safe, lean into faith, and stop blaming yourself. And I want to add the final one that I always add every show. Folks, there's always hope. There's always hope, and never, ever give up on hope. Thank you for joining us tonight for Breaking the Silence, live from Houston, Texas. Be with us next week, will you, for another edition, 8 p.m. Central Time, for another edition of Breaking the Silence. Happy Mother's Day. God bless you. Have an awesome, awesome week. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1, for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.